This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Monday, the 15th of January, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. A good morning, Bahamas. Good morning to the listening audience. It's a Monday, so we've got lots to talk about. We're going to address the PM's national address on crime. We want to continue the conversation on tourism, on the Tourism Development Corporation of the Bahamas. And if we have enough time, there are a couple more topics. Found an interesting article in last week's paper, in Friday's paper, the Nassau Tribune. Drug lore, 50% of school leavers lacking diploma. So hopefully we can get through most of that this morning. Let's start the show. We're giving away sand dollars again. Every week, six listeners can win 30 digital Bahamian dollars if they get the correct answer and have a digital wallet. When you call in, give the producer your name and cell number and wallet provider. Include wallet provider and custom name in texts. Download a digital wallet right now because every Tuesday and Thursday you can be a winner. The Sand Dollar Merchant List is growing. If you're looking for more places to spend the digital Bahamian dollar, visit sanddollar.bs/merchant list to view a list of verified merchants in New Providence, Grand Bahama, and the Family Islands. If you're a business owner and you'd like to join the Sand Dollar Merchant List, contact 302-9880 or sdau@centralbankbahamas.com. That's sdau@centralbankbahamas.com. A good morning to everyone. Let me ask you, did you tune into the Prime Minister's National Statement on Crime last night? Did you tune in? I did. It's not quite what I expected. So I asked Mr. Newry to join me this morning so we could compare expectations and speculations. I like that. That's a like Christmas season sound. Expectations and speculations. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning, Erin. Thank you very much for the invite to be on the show today. I was hoping to talk about tourism, but I know that the Prime Minister's speech is trending, rightly so. The leader of our country, the leader of the free world, spoke, right? And all ears should have been listening intently to applaud and also to critique. Definitely to interrogate what was said and have some conclusion on whether you support, whether you have concerns, whether you need some things explained. And I'm hoping that we are able to run through one or two things that the listening audience can appreciate and say, oh, I never thought of that, or yes, I agree with you regarding such.
Absolutely. First of all, let me admonish you for saying that you wanted to talk about tourism. Surely we are talking about tourism.
We are?
Yeah.
You're talking about the Prime Minister.
Everything in the country
is about tourism.
It's about tourism.
There it is. Most significant ministry and business in the Bahamas. Yes.
And I feel like this speech, in the speech itself is about tourism and the strategies that they're about to employ, unfold, press upon us.
You think that will impact tourism?
I think the whole purpose is to positively impact tourism primarily and secondarily a focus on the lives of Bahamians.
Can I interject now and thank the U.S. Embassy for their recent donation to for an assistance in terms of combating crime? because I see they gave some donation of bulletproof vests and some boats, high-end boats, and some more police-type equipment. And I just want to say thank you for that. And I'm hoping that we are able to employ those mechanisms and things to the best of our ability to help fight crime.
Not just to the best of our ability. First of all, let me join you in saying thank you. But second of all, not just to the best of our ability, but within the scope of the existing laws and legal framework. I hope that they can use them within the scope of the existing laws and legal frameworks.
You see my face tensed when you said that, right? Because I know where you're going. And I had a flashback of a former prime minister. When a former prime minister can sit in the seat of parliament and said, at times, there will be a need for us to violate some constitutional rights. And I hear you say...
Hold on, don't forget, don't finish the sentence.
No, you finish it for me.
For the purpose of running the country.
For the purpose for running the country.
I have to break, we may have to ignore the constitutional provisions that the country's operation and management are entrenched in to be able to run the country properly.
Yes.
You guys say the whole thing.
They say the whole thing.
Yes.
And perhaps that was a good thing because nobody got up and said, hey, the hell with that.
I mean, several people got up and said...
To raise concerns, not how I've seen it. My getting up and saying, no, I can't work, just shut down, this whole thing is different because I go to war for the Constitution. But that's just me.
But I want to frame that because if you were the Bar Association, you'd go to the law for the Constitution.
Did that happen?
I feel like it did not entirely happen.
Mm.
I'm not sure if any part of it happened.
Mm.
I'm not sure if the Bar Association has properly addressed those constitutional breaches yet, even though we are well beyond.
And we're in a country of KCs like crazy and constitutional lawyers like crazy, but all were oddly quiet. But anyway, I digress. Let's stick on what is at hand now.
They were idealizing things.
At hand now, we may have to do that again.
No.
No?
No.
You think Bohemians would say no to our current prime minister though, if he decides to breach one or two things? For the sake of the country, managing the country.
I'm looking at the headline, more intrusive policing coming. Let's pause for a second there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the prime minister's saying... I have a copy of the speech. I found it this morning. I don't know why the speech has been formatted in the way that it has been across various platforms, but it's made it very difficult to pull said information together in a rush. But the Prime Minister spoke to not violating people's civil rights. I don't know why he used that term. That's not a term used in the Bahamian legal system. I much would have preferred him saying constitutional rights, but he told us we should expect to be inconvenienced tremendously. And I want to say this one thing. Perhaps you should attempt to use the policies, rules, the legislation, the constitutional provisions that exist currently that are available to you to engage in policing strategies. I find it hard to accept that I should expect more intrusive policies from the strategies and policing when the police themselves refuse to follow their own laws. How many Bahamians do you think you will convince to wear a seatbelt if police officers don't wear seatbelts? How many Bahamians do you think you will convince to not drive with their cell phone in their hand if police officers are not only driving with their cell phones in their hands, but ignoring other drivers on the road breaching said traffic control? In fact, I would encourage my government, before they put at risk millions of dollars, of taxpayers' dollars in the treasury to respond to breaches in constitutional rights, before you put all of that money at risk, perhaps you should do some research, draw on examples from more developed countries that understand that traffic enforcement is a basic foundational pillar to crime management, suppression, and eradication. Do not tell me that you are going to breach my rights when you refuse to use the powers that exist and are available to you right now as a police force.
Erin, you're pontificating. What exactly can the police currently employ at this time when we have this spike in crime? What is it that you're saying that they're not doing?
So when the police are on the public road, right, what they can do is when they see a traffic infraction, they could use that as the first point of contact. They can stop a car, engage the driver of the car about the traffic infraction. And if in that interaction they view in plain sight something that raises their suspicion or causes them to believe that the crime is being committed or is about to be committed, they can act further. What they've been consistently doing for the last year at least, minimum, tax collection exercises. Police officers posted at locations immediately past an infraction hotspot. I mean, you are immediately next to you, abutting a space where traffic infractions occur all the time, but you're not looking in that direction. You're simply collecting taxes. You're looking for inspection stickers. And so there are a number of strategies that traffic enforcement enables. The public road is the public road. Everybody should expect that the police may stop them while they're on the public road.
So let's go to the speech. Did you highlight anything in particular that concerned you? First of all, let me do some pontificating, right? I did not expect the Prime Minister to address us. Me. I saw no need for the Prime Minister to address us.
Mm-hmm.
One, the Commissioner of Police is the person who is supposed to address me in terms of strategy and plan, what he plans to employ.
Mm-hmm.
Or the strategy that he has employed, right? Which is, I assume he's going to do roadblocks. Consider 12-hour shifts for his police officers. Make sure that the CCTVs are working and reporting, right? For police to be in crime hotspots. I assume that was going to be the agenda. So I'm trying to find out what was the Prime Minister addressing me for, unless he's addressing a list of laws, cadre of laws that he plans to implement immediately or to bring forth immediately.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen, yeah. One, right? Also, I assume if the Prime Minister needed to speak, besides having these laws be employed, that the response would have been immediate.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say immediate, I see we're going to the call right now, the first two callers, right? Whilst the Prime Minister was speaking, making his address to the nation, I had assumed that a police force was going to be employed immediately as he speak, doing roadblocks, so everyone see that the Prime Minister is serious. It's now several hours later, and I see no roadblocks yet.
Let's stick a pin. Let's go to the callers. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Turn down your radio. Still there?
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please turn down your radio.
Okay. All right, hello.
Good morning.
The motorbike riders.
Yes.
No helmet.
Yes.
No, I mean, where's the police?
I have no idea. Listen, that's the least of it, because the no helmet, the greatest risk is to the rider themselves, right? That in a slight fall, they could incur massive brain damage or brain injuries.
What about where is the police?
Listen,
take the motorbike, give them a court charge, paper it, the court charge, and paper the motorbike to come back to them.
Right, pay
for all of that money goes in the treasury.
Hmm.
Absolutely, but what I was saying is it's not just the helmets. I have come to understand now that the majority of people who buy scooters with the intention of breaking the traffic controls. And they'll tell you that boldly. I don't have to sit in traffic if I'm on a scooter. But I want to say to scooterists, you got to make a decision. Either you riding the center line straight up the road, or you're going to drive in a lane like an ordinary car.
All right. So I saw a lot of inspectors, the brown suit, riding motorbikes. They doing that on their own time, or they doing the government work?
Well, that's a matter of policy to determine what officer is assigned a motorbike, because now we have a new traffic unit, and they have a specific uniform, which is a long sleeve white shirt, like a sailing or a marine sport shirt.
I see them around. Enough credit goes to them, but still, the question they answered, the inspectors with the brown suit. They be riding. I see more than them on these motorbikes than the regular officers.
Ah. Thank you very much, caller.
Ah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Absolutely.
But the caller raised an excellent point. The culture of crime. There's a culture of crime amongst us. I mean, you're talking about traffic, right? We have a number of motorized vehicles.
Yeah.
Where clearly there's no helmet. And the police drive past them, especially in the downtown area. You see little schools.
Tourist hotspots.
Tourist hotspots. The tourists are breaking our laws. No helmet. The police officers who are patrolling on Bay Street in motorized vehicles are not have helmets either. So when citizens see that, surely they too might say, man, I don't have to wear a helmet. The police ain't wearing a helmet. If the tourists who come here in the Bahamas who must be scared of everything. He ain't wearing no helmet. If Bay Street was the most policed area in the Bahamas and nobody wearing a helmet, what helmet?
We know what's being policed on Bay Street, though. I just want to say this. Every police officer is a traffic officer. Every police officer can and is supposed to enforce traffic controls.
Every police officer?
Every single police officer.
But Aaron
is also a traffic officer, and can enforce traffic controls.
We now have tourism police. Their job is to protect and serve the tourists.
No, that's not what their job is.
I saw the line. It says tourism police.
But that's
police for tourists.
No.
That's what tourism police means.
No, that's not what that means.
What tourism police means then?
Let me read some text. Lady Green, promises are a comfort to a fool. I don't want to hear promises. Do your job. I moderated that text to PLP and the PM. Sick of promises. Aaron, another text. Great show as usual, but I tell y'all from long time, people's rights have to be broken to curb crime. No, they don't. See, when you are in charge of the law, then you amend the law to accommodate the new policy. If you cannot amend the law to accommodate the new policy, it's a couple of things we can reasonably speculate. You are unable to accommodate your policy in the scope of the law. The Constitution says it's impossible. That's one reason. Great show as usual. Question, you think the people in the ghetto take the PM speech seriously? I know a lot of very bougie ghetto people who are not taking the PM speech very seriously. I know a lot of people with AA plates. We talk about culture, people with AA plates. Don't take the law very seriously. You're worried about people in the ghetto. Good morning, caller.
Is that me?
Good morning, Brayman. How you doing?
Oh, godly day to you and, of course, the universe, along with Yuri. Couple of things. The police need teeth within their law whereby they would be able to act. Okay? 7 weeks ago, I was talking to the police on the phone, right?
Right.
About a situation. And somebody, as I was talking to the police, somebody had broken two of my window glass. Right? And he have heard that, the police have heard that. But my point is, they came and they met some people and all they did was ask them who had broken Brayman glass. Okay, nobody told them who had broken the glass, which and I had an idea who had broken the glass. Okay? The thing is, they have a law whereby if somebody were to damage a person's premises, okay, they're supposed to pay. Okay? The police, and not only that, they had broken down my fence to get him to be hiding drugs and stuff like that, right? and my fence is still broken. I've reported it to the police. The police saw it, and nobody had done anything about it. I think the police need more teeth whereby they can do some things, because the only thing they could tell me is take it to court. And the thing is, that costs me money.
See, I want to... Yes, sir.
But if I were to go and retaliate...
Yeah, you're not going to do that, Brayman.
They'll take a delight in locking me up.
See, now this is...
In spite of me being blind.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brayman.
I cannot hear you.
I said, thank you, Brayman. Thank you for your contribution this morning. Absolutely. Police need more teeth to take a bite out of crime. The laws need to be enhanced and improved. Now, the situation you describe, that's when I could tolerate talking about considering more intrusive policies, right? Because what you need in your community, Brayman, are more security cameras. You need more CCTV. You need CCTV that is not accessible by the average resident. We need to partner with the businesses in that community so that they can erect the cameras on their buildings, placing them out of reach of people who would attempt to destroy them to cover up their activity.
So what in the Prime Minister's speech that you did like or did not like?
I didn't like any of it.
What do you mean? It was a whole like 15 minutes worth of talking.
Exactly. It's 15 minutes worth of talking and he didn't say anything. What does clear, build, and hold mean? It's not sufficient to tell me that it is, in some parts, taken from other jurisdictions. Tell us what parts, which jurisdictions. You spent 15 minutes placing blame on other people. But let's go to the callers. I want to hear what the callers have to say about it. Good morning, caller.
That's you, caller.
Good morning, caller. Turn your radio down. One. Good morning, caller. Two. Call back, callers. Call back. Producer, when they come in, put them on hold for me so they'll know.
So that's
Let's get this one right here. Good morning, caller.
Good morning to you all. How are you all?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Have we ever gotten any word back from the Privy Council about what is the worst of the worst?
They're waiting on us to get back to them.
Yeah, there you go.
We got to get back to them.
Yes, it is us that are supposed to be responding. You see, the Privy Council told us to make the determination for ourselves what the worst of them.
That's been about 10, 15 years now.
Well, you ask the people who sit in the House of Parliament what's taking so long.
I mean, the only thing left to do is for somebody to kill somebody and then eat them. That's the only thing I can see now, the waste of the waste.
Well, I tell you what, we have not determined that molesting and killing children is the worst of the worst. We have not determined that killing pregnant women is the worst of the worst. We have not determined that raping and assaulting elderly people is the waste of the worst.
So, I mean, it's hard to fathom these so-called lawyers and who we look at as educated people because they're lawyers. Can't sit down and figure out what is the worst of the worst to save their own country.
And I mean, and they haven't even considered asking us what our thoughts are on the matter.
Yeah, and this is, it's like they're just comfortable in the with the country the way it is.
Yes, sir. Thank
you. Until one of them, I guess, got to get killed, so to speak, and then they'll say, well, man, we got to do something, I guess.
Absolutely. Listen, sir, that, I want to thank you for your contribution.
I hope, though, this don't get out to the American press and they start talking about these murders and all of that. And then another thing. It was mentioned in the New York Times that the leader of the Zopal gang is now living in Albuquerque. Now, how true it is, I don't know. But that came now from America. Now that we have that information, because the people here didn't tell us anything about it, I would make his life a living hell until he leaves this country.
Wait, he may be Bahamian.
Where he's been, I'll give him hell until he leaves or goes somewhere.
You can't do that.
You can't do the Bahamians.
See, when I say that, I mean sit outside his door.
That's harassment.
Follow him and everything until he gets tired and leaves.
Leave to go where?
Okay.
Obviously they said he is from Haiti.
No, if he's from Haiti, they wouldn't send him to the Bahamas.
Well, how he got here, I don't know. You know, these fellas got ways and means of doing things. They buy their way anywhere they want to go.
More likely, he's born here.
Well, okay, let's find out where he is and who he is.
Absolutely.
Let's do that for the country.
In the attempt to eradicate crime, we must ensure that we are not committing crimes ourselves.
My friend, Aaron, it's time. Drastic situations.
No, sir. I am not paying anybody to look me in my face and say, I have responsibility and control of all of the state's resources, and I cannot figure out how to use any of them to successfully enact any policy. So the first thing I'm going to do is breach the Constitution so it's easier to do my job.
No, surveillance is not breaching the Constitution.
Well, okay.
You keep him under close surveillance.
There you go. Well, then you can do
so
that.
So any move he makes, you irritate him, and irritating him is not breaching the law.
Well, let's be precise with our language is what I'm saying.
The Privy Council is not precise.
No, the Privy Council is extremely precise. That's one thing that they are. They're not to tell us what the worst of the worst is. See, sir, this is the problem. We cannot get emotional and obfuscate or ignore the facts. The Privy Council sent the process back. What we need to do is listen for a second.
Okay.
The Privy Council sent a directive back to the Bahamas. It is now the responsibility of the Bahamas legislature, the people who create laws, to define in law a category, a hierarchy of heinousness, starting at the top with the worst of the worst and work your way down. That task has been put into the hands of your fellow Bahamians. Bahamian legislatures. That is what the holdup is. The Privy Council is very precise. Do not allow these people to obfuscate the law, and do not allow yourself to parrot what they're telling you. Go and research it for yourself.
But, Aaron, if I do that, I'll lose my business. I can't do all these things.
Hold on, so you're telling me...
The government want me to do, to say, so I could be more involved
what
in
do you
the
mean
decision.
You, what do you mean you lose your
I
business?
I have to work. I have things to take care of. We elect them. They
you
tell us they're going to do
you want to run
this.
Your country or not? So
yeah,
what you telling
no,
me? Do you,
Aaron,
look,
I, only
do
one
you
man,
look at your children and tell your children, I
Aaron,
waken, you
Aaron,
need to run
Aaron,
the house?
It's all fine and dandy for you to sit there and say, do this and do that. And then I must lose the rest of my things doing that and doing this. You can't. I'm not a superhuman. We pay people to do these things, man.
So you,
and we ask them to do these things.
So you're going to just let them sit there and lie to you? And well, obfuscate the truth?
Everybody else do this.
Well,
I'm
not going to let you do it to
I'm
me or anybody else.
I'm trying to agitate now.
You're not agitating.
Well,
you're frustrated because you have repeated twice on the good public airwaves that the Privy Council has not told us what the worst of the worst is, when it's clear that that's not their job. We have to calm down. We have to get rational. And we have to apply the resources that we have available to us to rational strategies to agitate for change.
Well, one thing I must say, there'll be some good people go, you've been rational and calm
no,
down.
No, you haven't. But no. I love the attempt.
I rest my case.
No, man. Lovely. Thank you.
I rest my case.
It's a pleasure. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, CA.
Hey.
Good morning. You know, I listened for about probably 3 minutes, and then I said, this is going nowhere fast.
Yeah.
Listen, Aaron, please allow me. This article was written in the National Guardian on the 26th of July, 2011. It says, police chief stresses bail frustration. At the time he was appointed commissioner of police last year, Ellison Grainslade identified 191 prolific offenders, many of whom still terrorize local communities. It was revealed yesterday. They're still roaming the streets of our country on a daily basis, said Grainslade, who was a special guest on the Star 106 FM program, with host Jeffrey Lloyd. He said, he also said that they have been taken before the courts and we still see them re-offending. And that was 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't, and you know, when the Chief Justice, who I don't think is for Bahamians, I don't think he is of our ilk. I don't know where.
You can't say that. No. Put him on pause. Put him on pause. Producer, put him on pause. Pause, sir. You've tainted your entire commentary with unnecessary.
No, because he said.
No, pause. Listen.
He said that, you know, there's nothing wrong with the bail. This minister.
Pause. Producer. Man, producer. I ask. Oh, sir, I had to hang up on you because my producer wasn't pausing you. Listen, you cannot call the public airwaves and say that he must be of a different ilk. Listen, here's a part of the problem, very simply. A big part of the problem with crime is that people don't know the law. That's the biggest issue with crime, is that people don't know the law and presume that their sense of authority, their sense of personal authority, is sufficient to interpret the law. Mm. I find this in particular with people with children. And I could imagine turning in their head, I done raised 7 children, you can't tell me what I don't know. And I don't know that. You need to know the law to be able to interpret it, to be able to have these types of critical discussions. Here's the second thing. There's a simple answer to the bail situation. As long as I've been alive, there's been a judicial backlog. Mm-hmm. As long as I've been alive, and I'm 47 years old, there's been a judicial backlog. The reason that people are given bail is because their lawyers have been able to show that it is unlikely that their case will come to court within a reasonable amount of time. What's the typical reason for that? Because there's an extreme, not just an extreme judicial backlog, but there's extreme chaos within the judicial system in terms of the functioning of the rules, allocation of cases and court resources. This issue lies in an administrative crisis. All of these issues lie within an administrative crisis. Good morning, caller. Let's go to the next caller, and then I can get to the text. Morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning. How you do?
To C.A. Nui and to the wider Bahamas.
Blessings.
Aaron, let me ask you a question. What is worse than death?
Living a life of subjugation.
That's harsh. Dang.
That's worse than death, Aaron?
Yeah,
man. Imagine being tortured for the rest of your life.
Now, I can imagine for people who believe there is no God, there is no afterlife, there is no experience beyond what they could touch with their fingers right now. For those people, there is nothing worse than death. But for some people who believe differently and different things, living a life of subjugation. You know what's worse than that? Living a life forced to watch your children subjugated, knowing that they will never be able to lift themselves out of subjugation.
Even get worse.
That's a life worse than death.
Okay, so then we need to stop looking for the worst of worst and death then. Because obviously there are people who believe that there's something worse than death. Okay, so mm-hmm. I mean, the Privy Council obviously believes that, and that's why, you know, they wouldn't allow
That's a faulty reading of what the Privy Council has said and the jurisprudence between the Privy Council and the Bahamian government. That's a misreading of that.
Okay, but if capital punishment is in the Bible, it is biblically, it comes from God. If God gave the leaders of nations the right to judge according to sins and crime, then why is it that we are saying that, you know, you cannot hang a person or you cannot use capital punishment on a person.
May I respond?
But doesn't the U.S. use capital punishment?
May I respond?
Injection and electrical chair?
May I respond?
Sure.
So first things first. What your God told you could do has nothing to do with my constitution and my country. What your God told you could do. Don't mind that the Prime Minister said, hey, Christian Council, you should have a national day of prayer. He did not proclaim a national day of prayer, because if he did, then there would have to be space to accommodate a number of different faiths present in the country. The second thing is this. Even if, in some way, the Christian tenets gave the leaders of this country the authority to kill people, you don't think there are rules that govern their power? And my question to you is this. If there are rules that govern their power and they are not following those rules to the T, should they still be allowed to kill people, to execute them, if they're not following their own rules ascribed to them by God? And I don't mean in their personal life. I mean the actual rules ascribed to the task of executions. Do you think any government has the moral authority to authorize executions? Any of these governments?
Well, Aaron, therein lies our problem. Therein lies our problem. If the government does not have the constitution right to do so, then that's why the whole entire world has gone crazy. That's why people just killed. That's why there's no more value on human life. I mean, dogs got rights, sharks got rights, turtles got rights. Every animal have rights, but I mean, the highest form of life form that God has created has no right?
What are we really saying? What are you really saying? Because the rights we have are the rights we as humans afford to other humans. That's it. We have the rights that other people think we deserve. And the question is, do you think that Bahamians deserve rights? And what are you willing to do to ensure that they can enjoy them?
I gotta go.
I want to say thank you very much for your contribution. Don't think that because we disagree that I don't think your contribution is valuable. Okay? Thank you much.
Right.
Absolutely. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Good morning, Sparky.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Call back, Sparky. I got another caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Ms. Green. Morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm great, thanks. I listened to the Prime Minister saying that they're going to clear the gangs out of the communities. I don't understand that because that's just air talk. You can't just... Gangs are not like derelict buildings you can go knock down, or cars, derelict cars, you can go knock down. Gangs, these are people that live in the community. So how could you clear them out of the community without some kind of backlash? How is that going to happen?
I hear you, Colin.
Not just that.
I hear you.
Where you going to put them? What you going to do? So you're telling me you're going to go into the community, you're going to gather all of the bad people and you're going to put them somewhere together?
That's what I'm saying.
That's
crazy. That's air talk.
Thank you.
That's not a strategic plan.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, how are you doing to both of you? See Alan Johnson here.
Morning, sir.
You know, one of the problems is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know we talk about crime in relative to murders, right? Forget all of the home break-ins, the assaults, the rapes, the theft, the attempted murders, attempted rape, the larcenies and everything else. All of those probably interlace, right? You know, Mr. Fred Mitchell said you have access to the data. We can't get it. There's a term called datafication, and it's defined as a process where you transfer most whatever you're doing, whether it be police, business, policing, anything, into quantifiable data that can be tracked, monitored, and analyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we could be looking at exactly what it is, where you could overlap it with the economic things that is facing us, the fact that we have broken systems, broken education system, the plantation is broken or dated. We have easily 60% of the population that actually would need the latest clarification of living at or below the poverty line, et cetera, et cetera. And so to have a conversation out of proper context is something that the government should not be doing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that until we actually could begin to, they said a proper, it's just a problem properly defined is 90% of the problem.
Yeah.
90% of the solution, 10% is action. And we've never heard anything. The Prime Minister did not bring a plan. What he did is he brought a speech about what is possible. In fact, if you go back to the concept that he used, the concept goes back to Afghanistan. And that's when they were trying to deal with the insurgents after the effect. So I don't know whether he's talking about the crime plan that came out of the UK, which is in a number of their places, that they themselves have yet to implement because it's supposed to take effect sometime in the 2024.
Okay.
And or are you talking about the one in Afghanistan where they dealt with the war zone?
Absolutely. So that's what we need to know.
Right. We got no information from what he said. I think just a simpler response to basically do more marketing, which is something that Progressive Liberal Party seems to be good at.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, C. Allen Johnson. I'm going to call you in to talk more about it, eh? And more about effective strategies. Like you say, datafication, because we got a lot of data and we're not using it effectively. Let's go to the next caller, producer, and then we're going to go to a break. And then I promise you I'm going to get to the rest of these texts. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Good morning. How you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Thank God for life. Listen, I came back home in 98. I wrote to then governor, the then prime minister, the letter. If you're serious about crime, you build a prison. If you don't have the money to raise to build a prison, all of these investors coming to this country, they want to invest, have them build us a prison. If you're serious, if the criminals will see that a prison is built and they'll see, they'll know that the government is serious about crime. Now, the government is, the word I could use, P-U-S-S-Y.
No. Nope.
Putting around.
Nope. I mean, you should just said the whole word. You just said it because the whole word is a word.
The whole word is
text
a word.
Call up. We can try that again.
You can call back.
Yeah, call back. Don't. I hope I caught that in time.
You can spell well.
I'm going to read some of these texts before we go to a break, producer. When the youth of the UK en masse decided to act the fool, the government took decisive action. They facilitated the running of the court system 24/7, including weekends, to bring the culprits to justice. Why cannot the government take similar steps to address violent crimes, especially
that's
murder?
That's a plan.
There you go.
That's a
24/7.
Plan. Yeah.
I mean, I grew up watching night court.
Yep.
People are used to that.
Yep.
Extend magistrate's court in the evening, extend it.
And plus, I could watch that on TV. I could be entertained.
Absolutely. Good morning to you both. The PM's message wasn't giving at all. However, the Phil Stubbs concert was unforgettable, 100%, absolutely amazing. More power to the legend. I guess what? I bet you there's a whole bunch of strategies the police could turn to in Phil Stubbs songs. Because he sings songs about how we live. Good morning, Aaron. I agree with you. The PME say what the changes will be to stop crime. It was just a speech. I could have do that speech. And also, why was the speech recorded and why was the press not allowed to question?
Can we question the Prime Minister anymore? I thought they stopped that.
My great-grandfather used to say, oh, good day, why am I, Joe Blow, public rights being restricted because the government and police at best have a weak will to deal with crime? My grandfather used to say, Jack, bleep with a certificate is just a certified. We seem to have a lot of certifiable people in high positions in government and civil service running this, and so we are getting results of their certification. Without casting any aspersions on any individual person, a D average is not satisfactory because a system can only be as strong as its weakest link.
I still don't know what you have against D. Great. It's average.
That it is average is not that. What, Mr. C. Allen Johnson, I need you to call back and explain to us that is that D. A circular fallacy?
It's D.
It's a circular fallacy.
It means you could read and write.
And that's not sufficient. Exactly.
You could function.
That's not. It doesn't mean that you could function. It means you could read and write. Exactly. A lot of Bahamians really don't know the law and don't care to give it attention until it directly affects them. And even when it does directly affect them, the only principle of the law they remember is never admit guilt. Another text. Great show as usual. Listening to Minna's speech about lockdown is worse than death. Dear sir, I would like to extrapolate, even though I never said it in the first place. Listening to your leaders pontificate without offering any real strategies, substantive information.
Sound like you didn't like the premise of speech.
Or solutions while knowing that you are, with the former prime minister, constitutionally locked in and locked down. And with this prime minister, you got at least another 2.5 years before you could do anything about it, is a fate.
Did they mention that the police is going to be on 12 hours yet? Or didn't mention that at all?
No. I don't think so. Another text, the Chief Justice come from Cat Island. That aside, what the Chief Justice said is you cannot deny someone access to the bail process.
I agree with the Chief Justice.
There you go. A judge can review a bail submission and deny bail due to flight risk or some other concern. But the law cannot say nobody getting bail before 2 years. That's just silly. Mm. Also, we need to understand the danger of unequal or unequal applications of the law. It must be difficult to convince a lawyer that he should just let his client sit in jail for 2 years when other people of other ilk, other status, other classes can be allowed to leave the jurisdiction and serve their bail in a whole nother country. Mm. They don't have to serve their remand or their bail in the Bahamas, in the remand center, right? They don't have to come to the station every day, every other day to sign in. They get to go to the States and abroad and go live in their mummy house. With 250, how much SPF bail was? $250 million, right? Like, you could commit the greatest financial crime of the century and still get sent home to go live with your mama in another country. Mm-hmm. But people should just accept that they shouldn't get bail. Producer, let's go to that break. I know it was late. Let's go to the break. Sparky, call back. I wasn't sure you knew you was calling Guardian. Call back. Mm. We got a couple minutes left. Mr. Nuri, we didn't get to talk about the Tourism Development Corporation
bill. We have a whole other show, but we have so much things to talk on the next show, too. Anyway, we'll see where it leads.
Yes.
We'll keep it open.
Absolutely.
And keep it loose, because you got to go.
You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Well, soon.
You got to go
Not
soon.
Not quite yet.
Yeah, good.
You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. It's Monday, the 15th of January, 2024, and we are almost out of time. Another text. Good morning, Ms. Green and Mr. Nuri. The Prime Minister's speech was a bunch of word salad. That's what I think it was, too. Not the kind you could eat.
You're all harsh with the current Prime Minister, man. Very critical.
Let me share something with you. I think there have been at least three traffic fatalities for the new year. Mm-hmm. It's just the 15th. We just 2 weeks in a day, a fortnight. I think there have been a minimum of three traffic accidents. I'm still trying to determine with certainty. I've read that there have been two fatalities on the island of Eleuthera, right? We ended the year with the superintendent responsible for traffic telling us that there were 8,000 plus accidents in 2023. 6,300 of those plus of those accidents occurred on the island of New Providence. The superintendent also said that roughly 50% of those recorded accidents involved uninsured vehicles. Now, let's extrapolate from that that of the unrecorded accidents, that many of them were not reported because they involved one or more uninsured vehicles. Right? Mm-hmm. The response from the police was, we need to change the law to allow us to impound cars that have been stopped after being found with no insurance. So here's my question to you, right? If it's against the law to drive your car without insurance or to drive a car with no insurance on it, you may have insurance, but you're not insured to drive this particular car, the police surely have the power to stop you from driving that car. Mm-hmm. Why hasn't the law moved quickly enough to address that? What do you mean that 50% of the vehicles involved in 8,000 plus accidents involved uninsured vehicles, and we've not seen an immediate legislative shift? and the Prime Minister talking about more intrusive policies and more roadblocks, but you not tackling the issues directly in front of you, that you have the statistics to show is a problem and to derive solutions therefrom. Another text, morning, I just love your show. Your caller said the only way the government or people in power will take crime serious if they start. Yeah, no, we're not even putting that into the ether, but it seems as if people only take crime seriously when it impacts them directly and in a negative way on top of it. Directly in a negative way. I am sorry, caller, that I missed you just now. It wasn't flashing for very long. But Mr. Newry, don't tell me that I should expect more intrusive policing and the need for the government to encroach on my rights. First things first, be a man about it and come right out and say, hey, I know this is going to be risky, but I getting ready to breach the Constitution to govern y'all.
That's what it's hinted was.
No, don't hint at it.
It sounds like he's doing a menace.
Don't hint at it. If you have the temerity to do it, then please say it clearly to us so that we can respond clearly to you using the law and the legal resources available to us. That's all.
Didn't we have a lawyer who sued the last time and won? About these stop and searches and things?
In fact, I think that case is the reason why I know that unannounced roadblocks are a problem, are not allowed. I'm troubled that the Prime Minister would get up and say to me that they're going to have unannounced roadblocks.
See, be patient with him as they break
be patient with him while I sit on remand in Fox Hill. Good morning, caller. Last call, and then we're out of here. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello, Mr. Grant.
How are you?
You can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, you all hang me up twice, man. Listen, me, on this preview consulting, right? Let me ask, good morning to you and see you.
Yeah, man, we got 30 seconds.
First,
yes, right? Sir.
If you don't believe in something, will you allow it? Yes or no?
No.
Then I can say what I have to say.
No, we wouldn't allow it.
Okay, listen to me. I wake around, of course, 35 years. I call your show a few times.
Yes, sir.
Since you and Aaron Green being on. One time before you came on with Aaron Green. Listen, I work on the courts, 35 years in the police force, retired sergeant, 911 Carol, right?
Yes, sir.
I spent about 11 years of my 35 years around the court, constable, corporal, retired there as a sergeant. After September 11, they sent me back there to protect the judges, right? My squad mate, Douglas Hanna, 906, we trained together, and he sent me there to protect the judges. When the OC of Central, I reported to Central, found that I was there, they ordered me to come to Central before the OC. So how you be protecting judges and you know you're the man for the Supreme Court? Be glad to have you back. Take you in charge of the court. Sergeant at Arms, sergeant in charge of the court, the magistrate and the Supreme Court. We get all justices out and all the judges them. Bernard Turner, Attorney General Office, Cheryl Granville, all Mr. Attorney General Office. What I'm saying, let me get to the point.
Yes, sir.
You don't agree. If you don't believe in something, you wouldn't agree with it, right? Okay, I could describe one case to you. This guy now, he's serving, I think, 45 or 50 years in jail. He had about two or three trials. Justice Allen tried the first case. I was there in her court. Justice Anita Allen. Justice Anita Allen. And I can describe, okay, I could say the victim name because the victim has died, right?
Okay.
This Canova girl, beautiful 16-year-old girl, she, Canova's son name came because then they have those U.S. Marines to be up.
Don't worry about that part.
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen now. This guy, this Haitian, he shouldn't be him, and he born in Bahamas, but I shouldn't be him. And he look her, he had a few calls online.
Okay.
The call was made that she come out of her house at Mandingo Restaurant in Nashville, Smith Manor. I think he died now. We came from New York and started that.
Okay.
He lurked there, and you had witness. The witness could have said that he came in there to the Mandingo Restaurant that night and called her.
Okay.
Take that 16-year-old girl. You know what he did with her?
Yeah, don't say it out loud. We know.
You know what he did with her? He took her to
No, don't say. We know.
He did five heinous acts to her. Right? Oh, take it on and smack it in the graveyard and fight you.
Yeah, yeah.
To rape her.
I got you. We got you. Yes,
hello?
Sir. We here. We sir. We gotta go.
And the last act, he burned her body. He used a stick in a private part.
Understood, sir. Yes, sir.
He burned a body. Pause. He ran the car over her.
Yes, sir.
He threw in the grave.
I got you, sir. I understand, and I
and
appreciate...
And that should have been the worst of the worst.
Absolutely. I appreciate what you're saying, sir. Right? I am not saying that we are all blameless, but I'm saying that we cannot solve the problem until we know where to properly ascribe blame. That's it. That's all. We have to be precise with it, as precise as the law is, or our efforts are in vain. That's the problem with this system. I want to thank all of my callers for calling in and sharing from their heart. Some tough conversation this morning, but I think it was worth it. Thank you very much, Mr. Nuri.
Yeah,
thank you to the producer, and thank you to the callers. You guys, stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.